This is Out and About on Peoria Public Radio. I'm Nathan Irwin.
And I'm Jen Gordon with Arts Partners of Central Illinois. Today we're talking with Newt Holt about Eureka College Theater's upcoming production of Imprimatur, a play that he both authored and is directing. Newt, welcome to Out and About.
Hey, thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Well, we're excited about this world premiere and so thrilled to have you here in the studio with us today. Since this is a brand new production that no one's seen or heard of before, can you walk us through just the premise of the story?
Yeah, so the play takes place in 1944, about a year or two into America's involvement with World War II. And it's about two propagandists who start working on a comic book called They're Still Out There, which is about war crimes that were committed in World War I by Germans, since the Germans were back for World War II, as kind of a way of going, hey, these guys are still out and about, still kicking. Let's go shoot them. And while they are making this comic book, as they're working on the propaganda, they end up stumbling upon a war crime committed by an American, specifically a guy that's running for mayor. And obviously mayor is not a very high-stakes thing in the grand scheme of things, but he's a very powerful man, and he's trying to keep the secret in check, and they're trying to figure out what to do with it. And so it's intrigue, noirish kind of excitement kind of stuff, all set in 1944, so it's fun.
I'm curious about the choice to set this play in the 1940s during the, you know, World War II, as you have. What drove that choice as opposed to picking a more contemporary time period for the action?
Well, propaganda was pretty big and really overt in the 1940s. Obviously, we have it in the 60s with Vietnam and things like that. But Vietnam had a far more kickback from the public ever, like once they started airing things on television and realizing that propaganda is not a depiction of the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the 1940s, the propaganda that the U.S. was putting out was a little bit more of a this is reality. And so having a bit more of a unitary, uniform force that's saying this is what the truth is was more intriguing when I wanted to talk about what happens when you disagree with that.
It also seems like having a world war happening in the background off stage creates an environment that tends to raise the emotional stakes a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, for sure.
So we should say that you're a student at Eureka College mm-hmm. right now. So talk about the time frame of when you first had the inspiration to write the play and then ensuring that you could produce it within the season.
Yeah. So I'm a senior now. For my junior year, I directed another play that I had spent like 4 or 5 years working on. And so I finished that, and there was a little bit of a sophomore album kind of thing where it's like, well, I got one more year left and I don't want to waste it. I want to do something in it. And I had an idea for this, and I'd been working on it for a little while. And so it became kind of just this manic crawl of writing and editing and writing and editing until it was finally ready for me to slide across the table and go, I'd like to maybe do this.
You had mentioned that you previously wrote and directed another play. What do you think you learned from that process and that experience that you've now brought into both the writing and the direction of this show?
That show, it went really well as far as the audience reception and things like that. But I, myself, was really horrible at delegating. I was a little bit more of a perfectionist about it. And what I realized is what I was a perfectionist about never really manifested into anything that was visible to the audience. It was all little things that just set my mind at ease. And I realized that something that sets my mind at ease much more is to not be a perfectionist
mm-hmm.
and to delegate and go, all right, these people are talented artists. These people are really, really smart and know the craft just as well or better than I do. I'm okay putting it into their hands. So it's been a significantly less stressful show, even though it is bigger and more ambitious than the one I did last year, because I learned how to run not just a show, but any kind of event and running a group better. I became a better leader through it.
You wear two hats in the midst of all this. You're the playwright and you're also the director. Is there a time when, as the director, you have to really take off that playwriter's hat and just focus on the task at hand? Or do they always kind of serve each other, those two roles?
I have to set aside the need to rewrite things at all times. There are a lot of moments where I go, ooh, that line is a little clunky. Let's rewrite it. And they're like, I just memorized this whole monologue. I'm not going to go back and change anything. And so I have to go, all right, this is it. This is what we're dealing with. Time to use it. And then obviously if an actor flubs a line, or not even flubs, if they tweak a line accidentally and use a different word, part of me, my heart goes like, oh, that's not the right word. It's not as impactful of a word. But as a director, I have to think in a little bit more broad strokes and go like, that's not worth fighting over.
Can you talk a little bit about where this interest in writing your own plays came from? You know, because a lot of people at your age are still, you know, they're still studying the craft. They're still taking acting and directing classes. And the urge to actually create and write new plays doesn't come until a few years later.
I always like making things. I don't like sitting around and just waiting for opportunities to come. And there's a little part of me that anytime I see a show, I go, oh, I wish I could do that. When I was in high school, when I was a junior, I had an English arts teacher who gave me an opportunity to direct a one act, and I could pick one or I could write one, and so I decided to write one. And I've been writing my whole life. That wasn't like the first time. I was like, oh, I can put the English language on paper? Whoa. But that's the first time I really got to see my work put on stage, which started a path, and I directed another show my senior year, and then ever since I've been at Eureka, I've been working on the play that I directed last year, trying to get it ready for performance. So I've been interested and intrigued for a long time, just because there's something really, really exciting about being able to bring something up out of nothing and have a bunch of people come see it.
And talk a little bit about the title that you chose for this specific work.
So the title is technically in Latin pronounced imprimatur. But in the show, we're butchering it as imprimatur because it's easier to say, and I will too. So imprimatur technically means let it be printed, and it's used in English history and like with the Catholic Church. It was a stamp of approval to say this could be published or this could be technically Catholic canon. And I'm applying it in 1944. Around this time, the comic books that were being put out needed to get a stamp of approval, and all the propaganda needed to be given a stamp of approval by the Office of War Information. So there's a lot of, like, instead of what we have now, which is really democratized news source and conversation about what's happening then and, like, and it has been for hundreds and hundreds of years, which is why I use the title. In the 1940s as well, there was a higher up deciding this is okay to say, this isn't okay to say. And so I thought it applied. Plus, it's a cool title. I like it.
With the themes that you're addressing in this play and in this story, did you want to communicate a broader message regarding timeliness of news or how news is brought forth today? I know right now, you know, we're hearing lots of things about fake news versus real news, or, you know, who's the editor behind the story that's being put out. Are any of those themes kind of more broadly going out into the audience?
Yeah, it started, I suppose, a little bit more political, but I think it's a bit more of a personal story. The main theme of the show, and I know that I've talked a bit about truth and stuff like that, that gets brought up, but I think the main theme of the show is about taking responsibility for your actions, and that means the truth as well. So a lot of characters have these sort of secrets or these actions that they get away with for a long time, and the show's a lot of times about turning back and looking at what that means and how to deal with that. So like one of the main characters who is ostensibly the villain of the show is a businessman who in World War I committed a war crime. He accidentally, in a fit of shell shock, PTSD, he killed somebody. But he went on, he lived a good life and a happy life and philanthropist, good Christian man. And everybody that looked at him would go, oh, this is a great guy. And his first scene really plays like a comedy because you don't know about it yet. You introduce him as like, all right, he's another hero in the story. And then you just drop this thing of, oh, this happened to him. He's always viewed himself as a good man. And now that people are maybe going to find out that that might not be true because of one story, he disagrees with that interpretation of him. And so he kind of fights to preserve the sort of like, I am a good man and I want you all to know that. So a lot of the characters have issues and things that they've done that it's about them turning around and having to face that in some way or another. And pretty much everybody in some way has to pay.
So there's the truth that we want to put forward and then the actual truth itself.
Yes. Yeah.
We've been talking with Knute Holt about his play Imprimatur. It's being performed next week, Wednesday through Sunday, at the Pritchard Theater at Eureka College. Thank you very much for being with us today, and break a leg.
Thank you.
Unity Point Health Methodist Service League will hold its annual gift show continuing tomorrow, Saturday, November 3rd, from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the Methodist Atrium at 900 North Main Street in Peoria. There will be handmade items, baked goods, floral arrangements, and more. All proceeds support patient care services at Unity Point Health Methodist.
And Pekin Community High School is presenting a production of the play Radium Girls. The play is based on the real story of young women who worked at a radium dial company in Ottawa, Illinois, and the health consequences they suffered. That production runs tonight at 6:30 p.m. and tomorrow afternoon at 2 o'clock.
Out and About is a production of Peoria Public Radio and Arts Partners of Central Illinois. Each week, we connect you to the arts community by talking with local arts leaders and performers.
You can learn more about Peoria Public Radio at our website, peoriapublicradio.org. I'm Nathan Irwin. This is Out and About.